Welcome, welcome.
Here we are.
Scary Dad Podcast, episode 105. Are you ready?
Always. For the most part.
This one is called Preparing for Halloween. We've only got 2 weeks, guys.
I know.
2 weeks away. Do you have your mask? Do you have your knife? Have you decided which home you're going to stalk and kill all of the inhabitants of? If not, this is the episode for you. We're going to get into into a lot of fun stuff going on. It is October 15th, 2018. Again, this is episode 105 of the Scary Dad Podcast. And we are here to discuss scary things.
It's the season.
It is the best season.
Yes. It's
that good time of the year when all the good scary movies are on TV. I can't watch them because my kids will be scared. So I have to wait for them to go to bed. But I've had a pretty good run this year. I've been able to manage to watch a few scary movies. So.
Well, just to let you know, AMC released their list of their whatever it is, 36 hours of horror movies that they do for Halloween. All Universal Monsters. They're pretty much showing everything.
Good. That's probably why Walmart doesn't have them on
DVD
this year.
Going back to Nosferatu, they're going to be showing everything, dude. It's pretty awesome.
Yeah, I'm pretty disappointed. Usually Walmart has their Universal Monsters in like special slip cases.
Yeah.
They don't have those this year.
Not yet. They may come out. We'll see.
They may. I think they would have had them by now.
Because they have those, remember I posted those greeting cards that they're going to have with the Universal Monsters and stuff, so.
That's Target and they do have them.
Okay, that's Target, okay.
Yeah. But remember last year, like with Return of the Living Dead?
Oh, yeah, they had all that cool stuff, yeah.
And that kind of stuff.
I bought the Return of the Living Dead, so. Tell me that's not scary as hell, dude.
That is scary as hell. He's got the bruised thumb.
Yeah, the bruised thumb. Yeah.
That's awesome.
The blood blister under his nail.
We are watching some Friday the 13th Part 2 just to get the horror juices flowing here. And a knife just went into a young lady and she didn't enjoy it very much. Mr. Gomez.
First, the old business.
Okay, this is an important day.
Nice. That's always cool.
The 15th of October. This date in 1582, worldwide adoption of the Gregorian calendar. It started in all Roman Catholic nations on this day. So I guess they sent out letters and they're like, okay, it's no longer Tuesday. It's like we talked about the Swedish moving the car lanes.
Uh-huh.
You know, kind of one of those things. But interestingly enough, Neil deGrasse Tyson was on the Joe Rogan podcast a few weeks ago, and Joe was asking him about stuff. He was talking about the Gregorian, you know, calendars and astrophysics and solar system and, you know, all this stuff, and how we have leap years, and why would we, you know, like why do we have leap years? Can't we come up with something better? And deGrasse Tyson was saying, like, no, whenever they figured this out astrologically in 1582 or prior, whenever they were developing it, basically a day is a few seconds less than 24 hours. So as the earth revolves around the sun and as you go on that cycle, every 400 years you'd have to go back. Was it You lose like a quarter of a day per year. So what they were doing is like every 400 years, like your Christmas would be in like June. It was like screwing things up. And it's like they kept having to reset calendars and it was just not right. What they figured out is every 4 years, if you add a day, then it...
You fix that.
You fix that. But...
Birth a leap year.
Like, basically, if you don't use the leap year, then you're paying more attention to the year than the day. So in order to keep everything straight, that's what they did.
Okay.
And it worked out, and it works. And we don't have to like reset our calendar every 400 years. So it's been like January 1st has been on January 1st for the last, you know, 400 years. Pretty good stuff. What would you say? So we know that airplanes kind of came into themselves in the late 1800s. But when would you say the first time humans were able to, on their own power, or on, you know, like out of a mechanical device, lift off from the ground?
When? No clue.
On this date in 1783, the Montgolfier hot air balloon makes its first human flight. It was a tethered hot air balloon, but they powered it up and it lifted off and humans could fly. On this date, 1783.
It just took a little bit longer to get somewhere.
Yeah.
You couldn't control where the winds were going.
No, of course they had to figure that out. And luckily these guys weren't burned as witches.
Yeah.
I remember when I was a kid, I asked my dad, because Leonardo da Vinci had all of those...
All those flight designs for different contraptions.
I'm like, why didn't they actually build that? It's because if he did, he probably would have been burned as a witch. On this date in 1793, Marie Antoinette was tried and convicted. And then on the 16th, tomorrow, 1793, she would be beheaded. Tried and convicted today, executed tomorrow. They didn't mess around with
that. No, they didn't. There were no appeal systems.
No. On this date in 1878, the Edison Electric Light Company begins operation. Interesting, we've talked about the Edison lights in a couple of episodes recently. One lost episode and one just now. In 2 years from now, he will open up the electric lamp factory. I had to go back and look, and I'm like, wait, that sounds a little...
Yeah.
On this date in 1888, the From Hell letter by Jack the Ripper was received by investigators.
We've discussed that on the podcast before.
And on this date in 1951, the first episode of I Love Lucy premiered.
Classic, classic television there, dude. Those episodes ran for so long.
They're still on.
Yeah, you can still find them.
Apparently, dude, she was a ball buster. Like, she was funny on screen, but apparently in real life, she was...
rough, huh?
Well, I don't think... she was mean. But no, she was just like, this is how things are going to be. And she didn't give a shit about, like, the role of women or... You know, she was the boss.
Her ideals obviously worked.
And she took control, and she had full control, and she took... She nailed it.
Look at the success of her and Desi. Household names for a long, long time.
And you got to think, you know, in our times now where people are like looking for things to call racism on, he was a Cuban, you know, and they were interracial marriage and, you know, all of that stuff. And she was in charge of her own company, like the Desilu Productions and stuff. She ran that shit.
Yep.
And...
Just Desi Lou sounded better than Lou Desi.
Yeah. But good on them, dude. They killed it.
Oh, yeah.
They broke through all of those barriers.
The show was incredible, man. When I was a kid, it was so funny.
They looked at those barriers and they're like, you know what? Screw that. We're going to be the most funny TV show that's ever been on, and we're going to just play forever.
Because a lot of those episodes as a kid, I remember, they were like Three Stooges level funny, which that was pretty damn funny when I was a kid. So... Yeah, Lucille Ball was just phenomenal.
Dude, I remember because my grandmother, we talked about grandmother and Dolly Parton and National Enquirer. So my grandmother was the biggest Lucy fan. She loved it. And anytime Lucy was on, it was like, shush. You know, so I remember watching those shows when I was a kid, just like, and my dad too. He was like, oh, it's like, I love Lucy. And he'd shut up. So good. So much fun. All right. On this date, notable births. On this date in 1844, Friedrich Nietzsche, philosopher extraordinaire. 1920, Mario Puzo wrote The Godfather.
Okay.
And you remember this guy? He was real big in the 80s. That's dating 1924, Lee Iacocca.
Yeah, he was a big name in the news back in the day.
He was
founder of General Motors.
I think he designed the Ford Mustang, too.
Okay.
The original Ford Mustang. Okay. Like, he was a baller.
Was he General Motors or Chrysler?
Chrysler.
Chrysler, yeah.
And that is it for old business. There's no notable deaths. It's a good day to not die, I guess. So with that, we'll have a little commercial and we'll be right back.
Yep.
Toys R Us has the Big Bird Halloween costume and the Yoda Halloween costume for trick-or-treating.
Now it's time for the Pizza Head Show.
Hey, everybody! I'm done trick-or-treating, and now I'm going to go for a stuffed crust pizza at Pizza Hut. Yay!
Not yet, Pizza Head. There's one more place to go.
I don't think anyone's home.
Sure there is.
Hello, trick-or-treat! Interesting hieroglyphics on this pizza.
Quick, Pizza Head, let's go upstairs.
Hey, who is here anyway?
It's your host, Count Steve.
Oh, nice place. You got it. Ah! I want to go to Pizza Hut now.
The Count will be happy to give you a lift.
Oh, hey, put me down.
See you next time.
Alrighty, it's all right. Time for...
New business is new business, and this is new business.
Okay. Have you seen the initial pictures that have come out from the remake of Pet Sematary yet?
I've seen one picture of the cat.
Yeah. Yeah, the it's a pretty scary-ass looking cat. It's amazing what they could do with CGI. I'm assuming that's how they got the cat to look that damn mean, but...
I don't know, dude. Those are some mean-ass cats. We got this cat that lives across the street. I swear to God, man. This cat, it's like this little orange and white tabby. She walks around with a little collar on with a bell. Well, she doesn't have the bell on it anymore. But if you're outside, she'll walk up and she'll, like, purr and run between your legs. This cat is stone cold killer, bro. She like I've seen her out in the middle of this, like driving out of work in the morning. She's out in the road batting at a baby bird that's like struggling across the street. And she's just like smacking it. I've seen her on the roof stalking baby squirrels. I've seen her wandering across the street with a mouse in her mouth. I'm like, man, this cat's
running shit.
She's nailed.
EW has released the first images from Paramount Pictures' new adaptation of Pet Sematary. They even have photos of John Lithgow as Judd Crandall, which is, it's a pretty cool picture. It's a very bearded John Lithgow in the film. He definitely looks the part. Pretty excited about this film. Looking forward to seeing the adaptation. Hopefully they do a good job. Pet Sematary has also always been like just one of the scariest movies ever, just because as a parent you can't help but just be affected by that movie.
Yeah, somebody posted a video clip of the scene where Gage runs into the street. I just can't handle it.
It's rough, dude.
I can't watch it. I'm just like, nope.
And it was even rougher in the book. This is crazy. Alrighty. Okay, you have two kind of related stories. I don't know if you've heard about this recently, but there's a asteroid that's about to pass relatively close to the Earth right after Halloween that has been photographed. And what's interesting about it is when you clean the photo up, it looks like this asteroid is a huge skull. It's pretty creepy looking, man. If you get a chance to look it up, there's an article on dailymail.com about the Death Comet, which is going to be flying by at 302,000 miles from our planet, which is, like I said, for a comet, is relatively close. It's not that far. But it's supposed to fly by October 31st. Yeah, it's pretty crazy looking. On a related story, okay, Michigan farm. Guy buys this farm, I want to say it was in 2000, and I'm sorry, he bought the farm in 1988. When he got the farm, there was a door in there. The previous owners had a huge rock they found in the field. They'd been leaving to hold the door open. So he just kept leaving the door open and stuff. Well, he saw this show where these meteorite hunters were hunting for meteorites. And they were finding meteorites that would be worth like $1,000 and stuff in the area. He said, I'm curious to see. Let me go ahead and take this giant rock that we've been using. And that's a picture of the rock right there. We've been using it as a doorstop. See how much it's worth. Well, come to find out, it's the sixth largest meteorite to be found in Michigan ever. And it's worth $100,000.
Wow.
That's pretty cool, man. And I'm sure he's not going to share that money with the previous owners at all. Like I said, he's been owning this since 1988.
Yeah.
They've been using it as a doorstop. And it's like this incredibly rare meteorite that he actually had in the house. That's a pretty cool little story. All right, Florida man. Hurricane season's over, so Florida man's back in Florida now.
He went home.
Yeah. 27-year-old Patrick Sherrod Campbell was arrested recently on animal cruelty charges and sentenced to 4 years probation by a Palm Beach County judge. Now, what did Campbell do? He decided with his husky he needed to establish dominance with the dog. So what did he do? He bit the dog's leg to make sure the dog knew who was in charge. And he was arrested for it.
Who told on him?
Campbell was arrested Monday after police responded to a 911 call about someone abusing a dog in the apartment Campbell shared with roommates, who told cops that Campbell had been disciplining his dog, a 2-year-old husky named Dimitri, by biting it to let the dog know that he was in charge. Officers found the dog inside a closet in Campbell's bedroom, where blood was smeared on the carpet and recliner. He wasn't just nibbling. He was biting the shit out of this dog.
Wow.
Yeah. Asked how he was injured, Campbell replied, I bit him to establish dominance. He then told police that he sought to discipline the dog after the animal destroyed several items inside the apartment. In addition to biting Dimitri in the right ear very hard to establish dominance, he had admitted to punching the dog in the face. So the guy was a piece of shit, pretty much. But yeah, he felt as though to establish dominance with the dog, he had to go ahead and abuse it. I remember a while back talking about the guy with the bionic penis? Oh, he was finally going to lose his virginity and stuff. Well, unfortunately,
it fell off.
No.
it terminated on him.
For a good friend, Andrew Wardle, 45 years old, who had recently been fitted with a 50,000 euro bionic penis.
50,000 euro. You said year old.
No.
I'm going to be like, wow. they had some technology back in the day.
He collapsed unconscious at home just a few days after losing his virginity and spent 10 days in the hospital. As you may remember, he was born with congenital abnormality where he was born without a penis. Underwent a surgery to where they were able to fit him with a new appendage that would pump up and he could use it for his new girlfriend to lose his virginity finally. Well, things went awry, and he ended up in the hospital for 10 days. He's fully recovered now and got out of the hospital, but we'll see how well he does from this point on.
Wow.
Yeah. You're 45 years old, you finally get to go ahead and do something, and then it puts you in the hospital for 2 days. Okay, and last but not least, an Arizona man by the name of Paul Menchaca, 31 years old, has been arrested because he decided to go ahead and trick a series of female caregivers or home nurses into believing he had Down syndrome and coming over to bathe him and change his diapers. An alleged documents the scheme by Mr. Menchaca began in May when he advertised on a website called CareLinks that connects clients with home care workers that he needed a home health agent for a Down syndrome son. He pretended his name was Amy and would text these nurses and get them lined up. The nurses, what's funny is, this apparently went on for three nurses for a period of time. They didn't find it funny that every time they met with Mr. Menchaca, it was like at a hotel. It wasn't at his house. And this Amy person who claimed to be the mother of Mr. Menchaca would only text them. They never talked to him on the phone. And they received payments like automatic drafts and stuff like that. The first caregiver told police that she bathed Menchaca and changed his diaper on 30 occasions. A woman told police that Menchaca occasionally complained aggressively that his genitals were not clean enough, which prompted her to wipe them more thoroughly. And she also added that he had an erection every time his diaper was changed when he was bathed. Yeah, this guy with the three caregivers doing this stupid shit to get off. Basically using them as a prostitution service.
Wow.
Yeah. On a side note, what do you think about the robot brothel that the city council in Houston apparently felt was important enough to try to go ahead and shut down before it ever even opened? That was priority for them. Think about how many red light district areas in Houston there are where prostitution is rampant.
They probably got paid off to stop it.
And they were freaking out about this guy that was going to go ahead and have a robot brothel that would harm no humans, only robots.
And not even robots. They're just silver dolls.
Oh, and on another note, I think we talked about once, there's this guy that he's like one of the... He spent more money on robot sex dolls than anybody else from the United States. And one of the companies that has a new, like, the most advanced robot sex doll ever asked him to go ahead and test drive their new model. And basically they told him, we want you to go ahead and knock this shit out and see if it's going to be able to handle it. 10 days' time, he broke that motherfucker.
He's like, this is the bomb.
He hit it so much, he knocked it unconscious. It doesn't operate anymore.
Oh, God.
There he is. The messed up right eye.
He looks like Sloth.
And there he is with his long hair.
Oh, man. I guess with that, we will take a quick break. We'll be right back.
It was a Halloween party where fantasies come true. I put on showtime makeup and did a dance or two. The boys and ghouls were hanging out like Vamp and Tigress too. My showtime face was all in place, then Rock Angel, I saw you.
It's showtime, the adult Halloween makeup. Showtime is hypoallergenic, more comfortable than masks, more fun too.
You know you are my fantasy, but I can't speak to you.
Make up a Halloween fantasy with Showtime Makeup.
Everybody's heading for Woolworth and Woolco to get set for Halloween. There's costumes of TV favorites like Wonder Woman and the Hulk. There's popular characters from Star Wars. And there's superheroes like Spider-Man, Batman, Superman, and many more at bare bones prices. $238 to $417. And there's spook sticks, face pops, Hallowitches, wrapped candy of every kind. All at the favorite Halloween haunts. Woolworth and Woolco.
And we're back.
Happy Halloween.
So what are you doing to prepare for Halloween, man? What's your plans? What you got going on?
I'm debating whether or not I'm going to change my costume for your party. That's the big thing. Now, I want to still stick with a scary theme. You know, Amy's kind of wanting to do couples costumes, but I don't know if I'm in all that kind of thing.
Dress her up as Blade.
Yeah, that'd be a great
dress her in all black.
I told her, well, the only female puppet from Puppet Master is Leech Girl. I don't know if you want to do that, but you just have to spit out leeches all night.
Go buy a bunch of gummy bears. Licorice flavor ones, so they're black.
So yeah, that's the big thing right now, is figuring out what costume. Then I gotta, of course, have a costume. My daughter wants to trick or treat again this year. I'm not going to tell her no.
Of course not.
So we're trying to see what we can... She's all into anime now, though, so I may have to come up with an anime costume to be with her. But we'll see.
Well, Halloween's on a Wednesday, so I don't know if I'll be in costume on Halloween itself. Our party's on the Saturday prior.
Yeah.
Our Addams Family thing looks pretty good.
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah, you guys are great into the show, for sure.
The funniest thing, dude, it was like an afterthought, but the cousin It... So, got this idea off the internet, but you get a tomato cage, and you can do it with a mop, but it's easier to do it with hula skirts. You know, so go to the party store and buy some hula skirts, and you get a tomato cage, you wrap some hula skirts around it, put a hat and some glasses, it's Cousin It. Well, what was funny about it is the inside of the tomato cage is empty. It's hollow. So I put it over my daughter's head, and she holds on to one of the bars around the tomato cage, and she runs around as Cousin It. And she, like, made the little, like, blip, 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 blip sound. Yeah. Yeah, they didn't stay long enough for the costume contest because the big guy on the stilts kind of scared them. Which,
Trey, that was an awesome costume Trey's had.
Dude.
He has some awesome
if that guy didn't scare you, then you're not scarable. That was a badass costume.
Oh, yeah. And those masks he had, the silicone mask that he had, that he makes himself and everything, those are pretty badass.
Hey, he kept trying to cut me deals. I just didn't have the money. Like, I had to be very disciplined at the show. I bought two things, and both of them were Nika Jason's from two different vendors. But if I had not been, I would have spent all of the money on everything. And I'm going to reach out to some of the vendors and buy some more stuff because it was just, I couldn't do it. I was just like, I've got a ring to master here. I can't run around spending all the money on all of the things. But yeah, so we got, what is all wrapped up in the holiday season? You've got pumpkin spice lattes, and you've got fall festivals, and you got pumpkin patches. There's 31 horror nights, which now we're down to 16 of them. You got 16 left. If you listened to us last week, you've gone through Friday the 13th, part 1 through 6. So you've got...
What are you on now?
You know, where are you going to go? As I said, as we are speaking, I have watched the first episode of Haunting of Hill House. Maybe the second, but I haven't seen it yet because of our whole time travel thing that we've got going on. But that's something on Netflix that looks just absolutely incredible, and I will certainly be part of that. What else? Halloween decorations. Are you making anything new? I made the Bride of Frankenstein this year.
Yeah, which is pretty awesome.
Pretty awesome. Again, you got some books out there. Music. And then other fun stuff to do, like haunts and stuff. So, kind of what's on your list? What are you going to do for Halloween? Like, are you going to go run around and just kind of hit all the high points? Or do you have any kind of special stuff?
Well, Halloween night, the usual thing. I'll be with the kids, trick-or-treating with them in the old neighborhood and everything. Dressed in theme, of course. And, of course, hitting your party up. You got your mead ready for the party, or?
I have about a case of mead. I've got, like, two cases of cider.
Okay.
That, and the cider's been aged. So what's always happened, like, the cider's always good, but the fun thing is, like, the longer it ages, kind of the better it is if you can get it about a year old.
Uh-huh.
So I held a batch back last year.
Okay.
That I didn't, I just left it in its bottles and left it under. So it's aged for a year. So hopefully, I haven't had any of it. Colin had some the other night, and he said it was, you know, he's like, man, you got good at this. I'm like, I don't know if I got better or if I just let it age. But it continues to ferment in the bottles.
Yeah.
And then it carbonates properly and pressurizes. In the past, I've always just been so excited that I just, like,
you're
I make
open it. Up.
Yeah, well, if you're doing it the way you're supposed to do it, you let it ferment for like a month. Then you rack it off to the secondary, and you let that clear for like 2 weeks. Then you bottle it, and then you let it sit for like 6 to 8 months. And then that properly carbonates it. All the sugars turn into alcohol, and when you pop the top, it's psst, and you have a good bubbly cider.
Right.
What I usually end up doing, I do the first part just right, I bottle it, and then I'll grab a bottle and I'll shake it and I'll look, and if it's got bubbles in it, I'll pop it open and drink it. And then it's all gone. So this year I should have I have a good decent supply for Halloween.
Cool.
And then once all of the bottles are cleared, then I'll start next year's probably like next month sometime. Mm-hmm. You know, start cleaning everything out and restarting. We do have a Halloween party. I can't invite all of the listeners because I don't have the capacity. That's why we do the Halloween show. So next year, come out to the Halloween show and, you know,
you celebrate with us.
Yeah. So through the month of October, what else? What else you got going on? Are you going to hit on any local haunts? Are you going to hit Kingwood?
Yeah, I want to definitely. I'm going to hit Red Rum, and I want to try to hit Kingwood this year for sure. I'm going to take the trip out that way to check it out.
I know Kingwood has a new section. They were working on it when I was out there. Crazy thing about Kingwood, man. Like, they've got their scares down to a science.
Yeah.
And I went with the owners into their haunt. Lights on. Everything's, all the lights are up. You can see the inside of everything, warts and all. You can see the shadows. You can see the thing behind the thing. You can see the makeup. But walking through, they have the gas jets on. And so, like, as you're walking through, even with the lights on, I can't even imagine with the lights off. in this new section, it was just like, oh, my God. Like, how do you... Wow. Okay. So I want to get out there one night.
I promised Kill Comp that I was going to make it this year. So
maybe we should make a trip out there and just do a remote.
Yeah, we could do that for sure. Interview a few folks out there and stuff, and that'd be fun to do, man.
Let's try to put that together and do that.
Because we could make a whole show out of that. I'm sure.
I would like to get out to Red Rum as well. That's Trace and their buddies. They're down in, like, Richmond.
Yeah.
So it's, like, opposite sides of town.
Well,
that,
that's the first haunted house my daughter ever went to. So we have a certain nostalgia with Red Rum. Always enjoyed Red Rum, for sure. And they even have a paintball section also. Mm-hmm. I'd like to check out Tank's place also this year if I get a chance. There's so much to do for Halloween. Halloween is so big out here, man.
Well, and that's one of those things, like... We were supposed to, and as we're speaking, from the time you're listening to the show, we're recording this a week before. So last week we were supposed to go to Renaissance Festival. It was just like in the plan, that's what we were going to do. But then my mom was coming into town, my sister was coming down, we were going to get together and do a thing. And so we ended up not going. But the Renaissance Festival, I mean, every year we go to the Renaissance Festival. And as years have gone by, like, I buy less and less stuff, but I spend more and more money because the girls, they like, you know, like, I buy less stuff for me. I used to go out there and just buy, like, swords and, you know, tankards and beer and, like, whatever. You know, I used to spend $200 and walk out of there without shit. Now I spend about the same amount of money, and we walk out with bags of stuff. So it's, I mean, but Renaissance Festival is awesome, and everybody gets into it.
My kids went last year for the first time; they loved it. So I'll definitely be heading out. Probably be after Halloween when I go back in November sometime. Yeah. But I'll definitely be hitting that up for sure.
Well, and they have their themed weekends too. So, like, they have their fairy weekend; it's all magical and sweet. And then they have, like, their Viking weekend, and, you know, it's like the kind of the same people in different costumes, but the different themes and kind of the different.
Well, we hit it for Heroes and Villains year weekend last year. So, the jousting arena, they had like Thor and Captain America, and, you know, all these superheroes and stuff. It was pretty cool.
That's badass.
These way they did.
The thing about Ren Faire too is, like, if you camp, there's a lot of after hours stuff that's a lot of fun as well.
The only thing that's hell about Renfest is getting there with traffic.
Yeah.
You gotta hit it at the right time.
It certainly is out there.
You gotta hit it at the right time, dude. Because there's 2-lane roads going to it, and that's it. You know, it's not like you're getting around anything.
Well, it's funny, too, because I always wonder, because if you're driving out to Ren Faire, for those of you who are not from Houston, Renaissance Festival is... It's... You say points north. It's really, really far north of Houston. It's,
We're northwest.
Yeah, like northwest of Houston. It's in a, outside of a little. It's actually in a town called Plantersville, that's not even a point on the map, but it's close to a little town called Magnolia, and it's in bear country. Like, it's out there, and what's funny is when you're going out there, like Scott says, it's a 2-lane highway getting out to Ren Faire, but you drive by all of these land plots, you know. Ren Faire is like a 50-acre plot, but if you're driven down a country road, just out in the middle of nowhere, you're just driving down a country road, and every now and then you'll see a sign that says, like, honey for sale, or you'll see a double wide, you know, up on blocks.
Right.
Every now and then you'll see a yard car or, you know, something like that. And then there's this place, and it's this just giant compound of...
Back behind the trees.
of fairyland, and it's amazing and it's beautiful.
It is pretty amazing, yeah.
But then you have to wonder, like, all of their neighbors are like, man, what a good idea. Right? Like, 30 years ago, I could have done that. I could have turned my little one cow dairy farm into a giant fairyland, but right. I didn't, and now I can't.
And there's one way there and one way out, because even, you know, you'll be driving, your GPS is telling you, take a left here, but the cops have closed that road down, and they have everybody going the same way. They keep it one way in, one way out, and that's it.
Yeah, and if you're not paying attention to the construction stuff going on, it can take you a while.
Oh, yeah.
It's totally worth it, though.
Yeah, I want to say last year was a two-hour trip altogether, us getting there. But the kids had so much fun. It was a blast.
We have, Scarecrow Festival, which is out in Chapel Hill, which is this little town on the far west, like, it's not even anywhere near Houston. It's like an hour outside of town. But it's this little, like, one crossroad, one stoplight town. And I think it's got, like, 600 residents. And they close down the entire town and turn into this giant festival. It's fun. It's a lot of fun. So decorations this year, man. I built the bride, but I built her early. I'm looking at the calendar. And now that we have Halloween show behind us, because last year I didn't. So, like, in my timeline of thinking, last year, Halloween show was on the 14th of October.
Right, it was right before the holiday.
And so I didn't, like, all of the preparations that I had to do, I didn't have time. I do have time, and I'm thinking about making a little headless horseman.
Oh, cool.
He won't have a horse, but I'm thinking about making a headless guy with a pumpkin hand.
Let's get one of the pumpkins with the lightning inside of it. That would be awesome, dude.
So I'm thinking about doing that this weekend, just fun, you know.
What would be really cool, when I used to have one of these, is hook up a hose with a fog machine to the pumpkin to where the smoke comes out of his mouth and everything.
Yeah.
That would be pretty badass.
Well, you know, if you want to come over this weekend, we can pop some PVC together. I need to get a coat and, I need to get a Goodwill suit and put it on him and stuff, but
that would be awesome.
But yeah, we got Frankenstein, Bride of Frankenstein, gonna probably this weekend put out all the yard decorations. I know my buddy out at Fiendswood Manor, Craig Watt. He's got the best gravestones and some of the coolest Halloween decorations.
Oh, yeah.
He's setting his shit up right now, and I'm so jealous, but I'm always jealous of him. Like, I'm not envious. Okay, envy denotes that I am angry at him for making his cool stuff. I'm jealous of the fact that you make so much cool stuff, dude. You're so good.
I don't know if I ever told you, but my graveyard that I used to have at home, that, you know, I had the graveyard that was fenced off, and it had all the fog machines throughout it, and the things that would pop up from behind the tombstones and shit, but all the tombstones I had, this is going to sound so cheesy, dude. You'd be like, that's stupid. You're not a nerd. Each tombstone was a significant victory in LSU's history. It was the coolest shit, man. People used to love it and everything. It was just so neat. They, because LSU had things like, they have the earthquake game, where what's his name? Heisman Trophy winner from LSU, Billy Cannon. Billy Cannon had a run at the last minute against Ole Miss that won the game for LSU. And the cheers from the stadium were so loud, it measured on the Richter scale in the science lab.
Nice.
So I had that Ole Miss game on there. I had all kind of cool, significant LSU victories. It was cheesy as hell, but I made all the tombstones myself. They were all homemade and stuff. It was pretty badass, man.
That is badass. When I made mine, I've got several gravestones that I made out of plywood. And I could not replicate them. Well, I probably could if I looked hard enough. But it was one of those years that was just serendipitous. So I went to Home Depot, and in their cut pile, like their cheap stuff, they had a whole bunch of cabinet grade 3/4-inch plywood, and they were all just cut into slabs, like, you know, maybe like 2 by 3 feet, uh-huh. 3 by 4 feet. You know, like, I don't know, they had made something, but it was all like a dollar. So I go walk out of Home Depot with this stack of plywood, And I'm like carrying my cart to the store, and I go into the paint department, and they were discontinuing a line of textured paint. And it was this gray textured paint that had like rock chips in it.
Perfect.
So I bought all of that they had. So I went home and I got my jigsaw, and I was kind of going for a Tim Burton sort of effect. So I was sitting there trying to draw a cross. Have you ever tried to draw a cross?
You get the two sides totally uneven.
Yeah,
I did cross. That's how two of the tombstones were crosses. So yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about.
It's hard to make. Yeah,
to make it symmetric. It's hard
to make a symmetrical cross. Then I watched Beetlejuice, and I was like, "Hey, if you're gonna do it in style, right?" So I just like got my jigsaw, and I kind of drew out a rough cross. And I just cut it wonky like.
Yeah, to make it that's how I did it. It makes the effect even better.
And then I got my router and I just dug in some skulls and different stuff. So I made them very Tim Burton-ish. I was going for the dates. Well, after I'd been working on it all day and drinking beer, I had the big tombstone. I was going to go cut in a date. Well, what's the first date that comes to my mind? For whatever reason, like 1776. Freaking, right? Independence, bitch. And so I cut 1776 in there. And then my wife comes out and she's like, okay, so that's my tall one, so that's me. She's like, so then I had to like do the math for that age difference, so I cut hers. I cut my daughter's, but then when I was cutting my daughter's, the router slipped and like dinked off the end of the number. And I think it was a 6, and I had to turn it into a 0. She's like, well, that doesn't make sense. I was like, well, I don't have any more wood. And at the time, the little one wasn't there yet. So I made 3 gravestones. So you have like, honestly, date anchored to nothing but drunken me, and then 7 years difference, and then no reference to nothing. So then I was like, whatever, but yeah, I have all these gravestones, and then like every year I've been just making new gravestones.
We're going to make one this year. Let me give you an idea. It's a Kyle Kinane joke, awesome comedian, stand-up comic. If you haven't heard him, check him out. But I told Amy about this past weekend. I was like, when I die, what I want you to do is I want my tombstone to say, born August 3rd, 1973, died in your arms tonight. Must have been something I said in quotes. And what Kyle Kinane said is the reason he wants to do that is, you know, he wants, you know, somebody's there, they just buried their grandmother, they're really sad, they're walking through the cemetery, and they glance over and they see died in your arms tonight, and they just kind of giggle. It just makes them forget about all that pain for a second, and they can enjoy it. Now, dude, you gotta do that tombstone.
There's some stuff. So when I was a kid, we lived in a little town. I mentioned the town, and it's called Portland, Texas. And in Portland, Texas, there is a park that is called the 13-acre park, or at least it was back then. It probably still is. And in the 13-acre park, they had all of these concrete jungle gym pieces, right? So there was one, and it looked like a big piece of cheese. It was this yellow concrete thing, and whenever you got inside of it, it had these little, basically seats you could sit into and like look out. But back in the 80s, you know, kids used to go over there and smoke and drink and hang out.
Right.
So most of the time when we'd play in the 13-acre park cheese, there would be like beer bottles under the cheese, and you'd get in there, and there'd like people have written stuff. Well, I guess somebody broke up. But inside of the cheese, on the inside of the cheese, somebody had written, "Should have been gone, Kevin, how I feel about you," and then drawn a toilet. Well, I was not familiar with the song, so I didn't realize that they just scribbled "knowing," but it looked like Kevin. So my whole, like, for the longest time, I was like, I just thought it was like obviously an angry breakup because they drew a toilet right under the thing, but it said "should have been gone, Kevin." how I feel about you. And I'm like, and you know, I'm a little kid and I'm learning, like, I'm in an English class and they're teaching you how to diagram sentences,
right,
and how to make things in context. And I'm like, should have been gone, Kevin. And then there's a toilet, so I get it. How I feel about you, they don't connect. I didn't realize it was the Steve Perry song. But then, like, so that was in the shit. I moved away from there when I was in, like, 1988. So this would have been, like 84, 85, 86, right, when I was playing in the 13-acre park cheese. When my grandmother passed away in... No, it was before then. Sometime when I was still in high school. I don't know. There was a time much, much, much later where you would think that this had been sandblasted off, that they would have repainted the cheese. But I went back there. I remember being there and, like, having this kind of nostalgic moment. It's like, oh, you know, this is where I used to play when I was a child. And I'm walking across the park, smoking a cigarette, thinking, like, I am the guy now who was the guy then that was in there. I remember, like, sliding into that cheese and looking up and seeing it's still there. And then, like, the song stuck in my head and I'm like, oh. I get it now. I don't know how we got on that, but...
it happens. Segways happen. You know that. Segways make the show fun.
All right, so... Other than the Friday the 13th, what movies are we going to watch? We've got to watch a few to do some fresh eyes. So we need a commitment. Like, you've got
to. I would love to find Season of the Witch.
I've got it.
I think that would be a cool one to do.
I've got it.
I think Season of the Witch would be a lot of fun to do. Because that, I haven't seen that one in a long time. And
I'm talking about boning robots.
That's a movie that... Opinions vary widely on that one. It's one of those either love or hate it. There's no in between on Season of the Witch.
Honestly, dude, because the movie itself is great.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, we talked before how, like, of all of the Halloween movies combined, Homeboy sending out those masks all over the country or all over the world, he's got the biggest body count of all.
Yeah,
like, even Michael Myers got nothing on Homeboy in Season of the Witch. But I think, honestly, if it had not been a Halloween titled movie, it would have done a lot better.
It would have done a lot better, right? People were expecting Michael Myers, and when they went to see it, it was totally different. So that's why I got a lot of hate.
Speaking of our buddy. Was it either Chris Davila or James Bishop posted how Tucker and Dale versus Evil?
I love that movie so much, dude.
Dude, I totally agree. If people would just watch that movie, because it's a classic that's going to be like, nobody's going to realize it. It's going to be like Season of the Witch. Everybody's going to be like, oh, I thought it was dumb. Or I thought it was just like,
it's,
I
didn't awesome
know,
movie,
know what it was, because I didn't know what it was.
The acting makes that movie. The movie is so well done. The casting was incredible.
But I didn't know what it was, and I watched it, and I remember, like, you know how, like, you'll sometimes be in a movie and just be like, holy crap, this is awesome. Like, it is really, really good.
Well, Bubba Hotep. I didn't give Bubba Hotep a chance for a long time. And once I finally watched Bubba Hotep, that's an awesome fucking movie. It's so original. That's the thing about it is, it's such an original movie. It goes away from, like, the norm. And they do it so well. You know, Tucker and Dale is awesome. I might have to... It's still on Netflix. It's been on Netflix for a while. I might have to watch that one again. I'll probably catch Creature from the Black Lagoon and a couple other...
I want to watch Creature from the Black Lagoon. I've seen it... Let's say I've seen it in passing probably 2 or 3 times. But I don't think I've ever sat down and watched it. You know what I mean? Like, it's been on, and I'm like, oh, yeah, I love the creature, and I'll watch a couple of scenes here and there, and he's wrecking shop, or he's stalking her underwater, but I've never really watched the movie from beginning to end. And I love Creature. I have Julie Adams' signature on a poster, you know? Like, that's awesome. You know, it's like you reach out to one of your Universal Monsters and they reply.
Yeah.
You're like, I mean, she's not the monster, she's the girl, but still.
But she's still a pretty important part of the movie.
And that's one of my, you know, it's like we, in the nerd group, talk about, like, what's some of your most prized possessions? Probably my most expensive thing that I've got is my Jason mask, only because of the money I put into getting it
made.
Deal
on autographs, right.
But Creature from the Black Lagoon signature, like personalized to Billy from Julie Adams.
It's pretty awesome.
I'm never getting rid of that.
Right.
And if it didn't have my name on it, I could probably sell it. But they're like, would you like it personalized or not? I was like, oh, yeah, personalize that. Send it my way.
Yeah, it is awesome, dude. And also going to watch House of a Thousand Corpses and Devil's Rejects again. And mentioning Rob Zombie. Have you seen the photos released for the version of Lobo for this series? That's,
for Krypton or whatever?
Yeah. Have you seen the Lobo?
I've seen the mock-ups, yeah.
It looks like a bad Rob Zombie cosplay. And what's funny is me and Andy Gonzalez just got through talking about this last weekend. To do a proper Lobo movie, they need to do it in the vein of Hellboy, where it's actually a costume. You know, somebody in a costume where Lobo is just over-exaggerated. You know, big muscles, big guy, bigger than the normal person. And then they released that shit. And I was like, you've got to be kidding me, dude.
Yeah.
It's sad. It doesn't look scary. Like I said, it looks like a bad Rob Zombie cosplay.
And Lobo is like Jason Voorhees on steroids and speed.
He's fucking evil, dude.
He killed his entire planet.
And when he found out his fourth grade teacher was still alive, he chased that bitch down. And what's funny is, are you familiar with the thing with his fourth grade teacher?
Mm-mm.
Okay. So he gets hired for a hit. He's a mercenary. He gets hired for a hit. Come to find out, it's his fourth grade teacher. He freaks the fuck out because he's like, I was supposed to have killed all the Kryptonians. What are you still doing alive? But he has a contract to deliver her alive to the person that hired him to kill her. Okay? So he catches her. She gets away. He catches her back and cuts her legs off so she can't run anymore. So now he has his fourth grade teacher that he cuts the legs off. He has to deliver her alive to the person that hired him. He gets to the person that hired him, delivers her alive, and before that person can kill her, shoots her in the head and kills her so that he can say he did it. But he followed the contract. He delivered her alive. That's an evil bastard, dude.
Yeah.
He killed Santa Claus, man.
Yeah.
And the guy that comes out is some hipster-looking dude that it just doesn't make sense at all.
Little skinny dude.
Yeah.
He's got some muscles, but he's not Lobo.
He looks too human. Lobo should be over-exaggerated. That's the thing. Like I said, if it would have been like in the vein of Hellboy where it was a guy that's all mocked up, that's over-exaggerated with his size and everything, that would have made a lot more sense. I was disappointed. Because I've been looking forward to a live-action Lobo for a long time, and that's not the way I wanted to see it.
It's weird how... it's hard to please comic people. It really is.
Especially when we have a lot emotionally invested in a particular character.
But it's funny how, like, it's really not that hard. It is hard with if you're sitting in a room full of people and they're like, we want diversity and we want this and we want that. Because, you know, I guess Jason Momoa turned in a pretty good Aquaman. I haven't seen the Justice League, but I guess he did. I love Jason Momoa. That dude is badass. He is a charismatic, awesome, good-looking, badass dude. Aquaman wears red, or orange, and green, and he's blonde with short hair. That's not Aquaman. It doesn't. Okay. But like, Wonder
That's
Woman...
traditional Aquaman, but Aquaman but, redone for New 52, and even before New 52.
Still wears orange and green and has short blonde hair. Sometimes he's got long blonde hair.
Yeah.
But he's still pretty much...
Yeah.
It's like, you know, Wonder Woman. She looks exactly like she should, and she acts exactly like she should, and everybody's like, oh my God, that's transcendent. well, what did you expect? You take the character off the comic page, you find somebody who fits the costume, and let her fly.
Right.
And she nails it. You know, it's like Batman. You don't be like, okay, well, Gotham did it. Like, what happens if everybody does everything without Batman? Like, well, Batman's the reason all these people exist.
Yeah.
They're like, yeah, whatever, you know. But you take the guy off the screen, you know, because I'm sure there's some pretty... Like that one dude from Sons of Anarchy, the long-haired guy.
Hurst?
Yeah.
Yeah, Ryan Hurst. He's a cool dude.
That dude could be a killer Lobo.
Oh, yes. Yes, he would.
That dude would nail it. He's got the look. He's got the kind of just mean sort of way about him, which I've seen him smile with fans. I'm not saying he's a mean guy,
right,
but
yeah.
He's got that.
He's a cool guy. I'm there for Comic Palooza for it. We got to chat for a bit.
But that dude would be my choice for Lobo.
Yeah.
If I was
he's got
a casting
the size
director,
and everything. And
I'd be like, okay, get that guy.
Get him in makeup now. Stat.
Get him into the gym for a couple weeks so we can get costume fitted. But, I mean, he's already, like, in leather.
Yeah.
Like, paint him white. And
get him a bulldog, throw him on a motorcycle, and let's go.
And he's a biker, too.
Yeah.
So, wouldn't be too far of a stretch. Like, he'd be my choice. Or him or Jason Momoa could be able to pull off a good Lobo.
Yeah. Yeah, he could.
He's charismatic enough that he's, like, could be evil as hell and still be likable.
Right.
Well, for that case, Ron Perlman could be a hell of a Lobo.
He would be a bad... Like I said, in the vein of Hellboy, dude. He would be awesome as Lobo, man. Do the makeup right, and that would be a kick-ass movie. I would watch it for sure. I'd watch it twice.
But, yeah, you know, it's like sometimes whenever these casting directors, they're like, have you read the comics? No. Have you seen the movies? No. Have you watched the cartoons? No. But we're still going to cast, you know... I don't know.
Currently with Venom, Tom Hardy was the last person I would pick to be Eddie Brock.
The thing is, Tom Hardy to me, like there's a scene in the TV show Modern Family from like one of the early seasons, and they were talking about the movie Mamma Mia of all things, right? And somebody quips that Meryl Streep is not a good choice for Mamma Mia. And the one guy, Cameron, he's like, Meryl Streep could be Batman and it would be a good choice. She can play anything. And I honestly feel that way. It's just like, no, you got some people that could just pull it off.
Right.
Like they're just the way that they need to be. They could do it. They're good. They're quiet,
right.
You know? Okay, music. I got the iPod full of music. We had a soundtrack.
Oh, yeah, there's a ton of them.
Gunship, right now. The album just came out 2 weeks ago. It's called Dark All Day. Quickly, I'm a music fan. I've been a music fan my whole life. Played music, wrote music, played other people's music, played with other people on their music. Love it. Gunship is probably the best band that I've heard in 20 years.
They're awesome, dude. So original, so fresh. Their songs are great.
It's a combination. For those of you who haven't heard it, look it up right now. If you like the Scary Dad podcast, if you like any of the stuff we talk about, if you like 80s horror, if you like old movies, if you like old music, if you like new music, it is everything a record needs to be, and somehow they're better than their last record. It's insane. Like I don't like Johnny Stitches from Sirenicide posted one of their videos on Facebook a few months ago, and watch the video. It was the Dark All Day video. Yep. It has Sexy Saxophone Man from Tim Capello.
Yeah, actually playing. He's actually involved in the song.
Yeah, he's on the song. And the song is incredible. The video is an anime, and where it pits David from The Lost Boys against Blade, Buffy, and Seth, I can't think of the last name, from Dust Till Dawn.
Yeah.
And the video is awesome. The song is even better. So I got it. I bought their first record, and then after that I had to buy everything that they made. And then their new record just came out, and it was a tall order. It was a big, tall order to be even as good as their last record, and it's better somehow. I don't know how they did it, but...
They're a very unique group in this day and age, for sure.
So download Gunship, buy the records, go to YouTube, and watch check out their videos. Their videos are incredible. But that is a lot of stuff, man. Like, Halloween's coming.
We're kind of all over the place, but yeah,
it matters. Like, I'm trying to stay on the list. Movies, haunts, decorations,
of course, candy,
books.
I'm trying to find my this favorite nostalgic Halloween candy from back. Like as a kid, you remember this candy so well. When you see it, you got to get it. I have one. That's why I'm asking.
Hit it.
You remember the little peanut butter flavor? They were
black and orange.
That's
exactly what I was going to say.
There's only a couple of stores that still sell that shit, so every time I see it, I get two bags.
Like the layered ones,
yes.
Like the black and green ones?
Yes.
Yeah.
I think Walgreens is the only store that still sells them, and I got to stop over there. Every time I see them, I get two bags. And, you know, I leave them in the car as I'm driving. I just snack on them, dude. I can't help it. But from being a kid, that was like one of the ones I always looked for.
There was the good ones, and then there was the bad ones. The peanut butter things, those were the bomb.
Oh, yeah. Those were fucking awesome, dude.
And then I saw a thing about... Somebody posted about Beetlejuice. Remember Zagnuts?
Yeah.
I want to see if I can find Zagnuts.
Normally, the places you find those are the convenience stores in the hood. They still have
the expired.
They're the
candy.
Ones that still. They're the ones that still have like the Chico sticks and all that kind of stuff. They
Chico
have those
sticks are badass too.
But dude, they get stuck in your teeth so bad, worse than a Butterfinger, dude. They just.
But Chico sticks just a Butterfinger without the chocolate on.
Yeah, that's all it is. But yeah, that's the place to look for those. That's where you can find like Zero Bars and all that kind of stuff. Hood gas stations is where you find those. Remember the Zero Bar? I used to love Zero Bars too. God, there's so many old candies from back in the day then.
Dude, if I can find some Zagnuts, I would be giving those things away, but then be like eating them too. Like, Zagnuts are the bomb.
Oh, yeah.
All right, with that, man, like, we got one more episode before Halloween, so we'll hit you up with a serious hardcore. I think this was a pretty hardcore Halloween episode, but we'll hit you up with some more thoughts about the Halloween experience next week. In the meantime, guys, go check out Gunship. Go buy some Zagnuts and some peanut butter bars.
Go watch some movies.
And we will see you next week. Keep it scary.
Later.